Double drop inspired tension in Ableton Live 12, intermediate DNB arrangement. Let's build that two tunes collide moment inside one track, right in arrangement view, with the kind of tension that makes the drop feel bigger than your session actually is. Before we touch anything, a double drop isn't just add more layers, it's controlled chaos. The listener should feel like two main ideas are arriving at once, but your mix still has a clear boss on the downbeat. Most of the time, that boss is the snare and the sub. Keep that in mind the entire lesson. Alright, open up Ableton Live 12 and set your tempo to 174 BPM. 4/4. Classic. Now in the arrangement, create four groups. Drums, bass, music, and FX. Think like a DJ and like a mix engineer at the same time. On the drums group, put a spectrum at the end. Do the same on the bass group. This is your sanity check. Optional but smart. Throw a limiter on the master while you write. Ceiling at minus 0.8 dB. It's not your final master, it's just there to stop surprise peaks from wrecking your ears. One workflow thing that helps a ton. Color code your A elements and your B elements. Blue for A, orange for B, whatever. When you're arranging fast, you want your eyes to immediately see what's tune 1 and what's tune 2. Now let's define what we're building. You're going to create two drop identities. Drop A is the roller. This is your groove engine. The drums are stable, the bass is consistent, and it repeats well. Drop B is the hook or switch up. It has a more memorable phrase, a different bass tone, maybe heavier hats, maybe a break layer, something that changes momentum. Here's the rule. Bass A equals groove. Bass B equals headline. Bass A is what people nod to. Bass B is what people remember. Now we're going to lay down a proven timeline so you're not guessing. In arrangement view, think in these sections. Intro from bar 1 to 17. Build from 17 to 33. Drop A from 33 to 65. Minute break and tension from 65 to 73. Drop B from 73 to 105. Pre-double drop tension from 105 to 113. The double drop moment from 113 to 129. Then your out row from 129 onward. You can shorten later, but this shape gives you runway to make the tension believable. Let's lock drop A first, because if the groove isn't convincing, the double drop won't save it. Inside drums, start with your kick and snare. Snare on 2 and 4, always. For the kick, you can do classic two-step, or a steppy roller placement like kick on 1 and a pickup before 3. Either way, keep it clean and repeatable. Hats and tops next. Closed hats on 16ths, but don't make them robotic. Slight velocity variation goes a long way. If you want that jungle-influenced push, layer a shuffled top loop quietly, not to dominate, just to add movement. On the drums group, add drum bus. Drive somewhere around 5-15%, transients up for snap, and if you use boom, keep it subtle and tuned. Then add glue compressor after it. Aim for 1-2 dB of gain reduction on peaks. This is about cohesion, not flattening the drums. Now, here's your first tension move, and it's simple. In the last four bars of drop A, around bars 61 to 65, start removing stability. Mute the clean hats for a bar. Add a tiny break fill. Add a snare rush into that mini break. The point is to teach the listener that something is about to change. Now bass. This is where most double drops die, because people stack two full range basses and wonder why it turns into fuzz. In the bass group, separate your layers. Make a sub track. Mono. Simple. Then make MIDA and MIDB. If you want a distortion or texture layer, that's optional, but keep it controlled. On sub, use operator on a sine wave. Put EQ 8 after it. High cut or low pass, somewhere around 80 to 120 Hz depending on how big your mid layers are. Also cut rumble below 25 to 30 Hz. Then utility with width at 0%. Mono, non-negotiable. If you want a touch of translation, add saturator with soft clip-on and maybe 1-3 dB of drive. Key move, keep your sub-pattern mostly the same through drop A, drop B, and the double drop. This is your anchor. You can change the mids, but if the low-end narrative changes too hard right at the double drop, it often feels weaker on big systems. Now mid and mid B. MIDA should be rolling and repetitive. MIDB should be more statement-like, more space, or a different rhythm, or a different tone entirely. To prevent conflict, you're going to give them territories. On mid A, you might emphasize 150 to 500 Hz and 1 to 3kHz. On mid B, you might emphasize 500 Hz up through 2kHz and maybe 3 to 6kHz. This isn't a strict rule, it's a starting point. The mindset is what matters. Don't let both basses scream in the same range at the same time. And here's a more advanced coach move. Don't only carve with static EQ. Do spectral scheduling, meaning you take turns with who gets to be bright. One bar, bass is a little brighter and bass beat is darker. Next bar, swap it. You can do this with an auto filter, an EQH shelf, or even raw tone shaping. This makes the double drop feel like two tracks trading the spotlight instead of both shouting constantly. Cool. Now we're going to build the tension bridge that sells the tune switch. This is your pre-double drop tension section from bar 105 to 113, about 8 bars. First, drum subtraction. Keep it normal for a few bars, then start removing weight. Pull the kick every other bar or remove it entirely for a bar. Then strip top so you're left with something like snare and a ride, or snare and a break. You're basically creating negative space, so the downbeat can feel like an explosion without actually being louder. Now the automation tension engine. On the drums group, add auto filter. Use LP24. Automate the cutoff from open, like up near 18K, down to somewhere around 400 to 800 HC over 4 to 8 bars. Add a bit of resonance, like 10 to 20%, but don't whistle. Then add a reverb throw. This is big. Reverb belongs before the hit, not on the hit. Pick the last snare before the double drop downbeat, and you ascend throw, or automate an insert wet amount. Reverb time around 1.2 to 2.5 seconds, pre-delay 10 to 25 ms. You want a tail that sucks you into the drop, but you don't want the downbeat to smear. Also on drums, automate utility width from 100% down to about 60% right before the drop, then snap back to 100 on the downbeat. It's a psychoacoustic trick. Narrow equals tension, wide equals release. On the bass group, automate utility gain down by 1 to 3 dB in the last bar pre-drop. That's headroom for impact. You can also do a slight high-pass sweep on the mid-bass only, not the sub, up to around 120 to 200 HCE briefly, then release it at the drop. That makes it feel like the bass unlocks when the double drop hits. On the master, if you do anything at all, keep it tiny. A gentle high shelf down by 1 dB pre-drop, then back at the downbeat, can make the drop feel brighter without you actually changing your levels much. But go easy. Heavy master filtering can sound like a mistake in a club. Now, let's design the double drop moment. You've got two main approaches, and both are legit. Approach 1 is layered. That means A and B arrive together, but one is clearly in charge. Decide what wins on the downbeat. Pick your primary rhythm, your primary low end, and your primary hook. A strong example. Keep drop a drum steady. Keep the same subline. Bring in bass B's hook phrase as the headline. Then add one signature element from A, like a hat pattern or stab, but quieter and maybe narrower. The listener gets two tunes, but your mix stays readable. If the snare gets masked, do a practical fix, sidechain MIDB from the snare. Put a compressor on MIDB, enable sidechain, choose snare as input. Ratio between 2:1 and 4:1. Attack 2 to 10 ms, release 60 to 140 ms. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on snare hits. You're not pumping the bass for style here, you're making space so the snare stays the leader. Approach 2 is call and response. This is the two tracks trading punches method. Alternate bass A and bass B every bar or every two bars during the double drop window. So at bar 113, bass A phrase. Bar 114, bass B phrase. Bar 115, bass A again with an extra fill. Bar 116. Bass B with a vocal stab. It feels DJ-like because it mimics two drops being blended and cut between. Ableton tip that makes this fast. Consolidate each phrase into one bar or two bar clips and literally alternate them in arrangement. You can see it like a chessboard. This also makes it way easier to automate brightness swaps for spectral scheduling. Now let's add DJ realism, because this is the sauce. First, tease bass B earlier than it should appear. During drop A, say bars 49 to 57, bring in bass B quietly, like minus 10 to minus 14 dB, and high pass it with EQ8 around 250 to 500 HC. It becomes a ghost motif. Then later, when bass B lands full range, it feels inevitable, like the track was foreshadowing itself. Second, tease drums and breaks. Add a one bar break fill every 16 bars. If you want it to feel alive, use beat repeat as a quick gate or stutter. Set interval to one bar, grid to 1/8 or 1/16, and either keep chance low, like 10 to 25%, or just automate it on for one moment so it's intentional. Now impacts. At the exact double drop downbeat, add an impact in the FX group. Add a crash or ride, but shorter than you think. If you use a sub drop, make sure it doesn't fight your sub note. On your impact track, do a quick protective chain. EQ8 cutting below 40 to 60 Hz so you don't pollute the sub. Saturator with soft clip and a bit of drive to make it read. Compress lightly if it's peaky. And here's a coherence trick. Group your impact, crash, and any downlifters into an FX group. Put utility at the end. And automate with narrower right before the hit, like 100 to 70%. Then snap back to full width at the downbeat. Focus, then explode. It's subtle, but it hits. Now we do the club translation check early, not after you've fallen in love with the chaos. Temporarily put utility on the master and set width to 0%. Mono. If your double drop collapses, it's usually one of three problems. Your mid-bass is too wide and facey, your reverb tails are too long, or you've got too much competition in that 200 to 800 Hz zone. Fix it at the source. Narrow the bass mids. Shorten tails. Use sidechain or a tiny mid-dip on snare hits. Your goal is simple. In mono, the snare still cracks, and the bass still has shape. Let's quickly hit the common mistakes so you can dodge them. Don't run both basses full range at once. That's the fastest path to fuzz. Don't change the sub rhythm too much right at the double drop. That instability reads as weakness on big systems. Don't drown the downbeat in reverb. Put reverb on the throw, not the slam. And don't skip subtraction. If everything is already maxed out before the double drop, there's nowhere to go. Now a fun advanced variation if you want to make it feel like an actual two-deck blend. You can automate a fake DJ EQ handover. Use EQ3 or EQH elves on two group buses, or on A and B returns. Start the incoming tune with its lows reduced. Then swap lows over one or two bars like a crossfader and EQ handoff. It's a tiny detail that makes the double drop feel like it came from the rave, not just from your timeline. One more tension hack, halftime illusion. In the four bars before the double drop, imply halftime with fewer hats and a simpler phrasing, while staying at 174. Then snap back to full-time hats at the impact. It creates time dilation without needing a giant riser. Okay, mini practice. Set a timer for 20 minutes. Take an existing 16-bar drop a loop you like. Create bass B as a 2-bar hook rhythm with a contrasting timbre. Arrange drop A for 16 bars, then a 4-bar tension section, where you remove kick and low pass the drums, then an 8-bar double drop using call and response, alternating A and B every bar. This audio version is shortened for playback.